Tonight, I want to talk about a subject that I don't know that I've heard a lot of studies about, and I don't say that to pretend that I deserve credit or should get a pat on the back for talking about it, but it's a subject that the Bible discusses, and it's the one that I think is of great interest and something we need to talk about, especially this time of the year. When you think about fasting and what that is, and we're going to talk in great detail tonight about what fasting really is, its purpose, how long we are to do it, why we would do it, if we must do it, some guidelines for it, all of those things. But this time of the year, when you think about, you know, some resolution, some might be saying, you know, I'm going to diet this time of the year. That's very common. I'm going to set some goals. Some might be saying, I'm going to be more spiritually minded. I'm going to do a better job in this area or that area. Maybe it's kindness, as the theme of the year is. And so these might be times in which you might consider a special time of prayer and devotion to God, maybe even a time to fast. But some might have a lot of questions about that, because again, it's not something we talk about a lot, and it's not something that the Bible necessarily commands, but we'll get to that in just a bit. Fasting. Let's begin with what fasting is. And I want to start by kind of talking about what it's not. The term fasting has kind of, the use of the word is become very loose or general, you might say it. When we mention a fast, sometimes people might just be referencing anything. Someone, for example, might fast from television. I'm going to fast from the television for a month. And they just don't watch TV, they stay away from it. Nothing wrong with that. But biblical fasting is not about television. Now, a better word would be abstaining from it. And that's a good thing, but that's not a biblical fast. Biblical fasting, as far as I can tell throughout the scriptures, and correct me later if I'm wrong in this, but I don't ever see an exception to the fact that fasting is always in reference to food and drink. When someone is fasting, they're ceasing from beverage and from meals. And in particular, if you just say that it's, you know, they're not eating, that's not biblical fasting either, because there's always a spiritual purpose. Right? If you just decide for whatever reason you're going to stop eating for a week and that's it, we call that starving yourself. That's not fasting. Fasting is, I'm going to not eat this week because I'm going to focus on something else. I'm going to focus on prayer to God. I'm going to focus on humility or some sorrow that might be in my life. Or I'm going to focus on meditating upon what I can do better. And so we're going to talk about all of those things. And so what fasting is, if I would define it in my terms, is the idea of ceasing from food or drink. And we'll talk about the drink a little bit later. But always ceasing from food for a period of time in order to focus on a spiritual desire or a spiritual need. That's what biblical fasting is. All right, now, why would someone fast? Let's look at some scriptures in the text, in the Bible. We're going to begin with Esther. First of all, some might fast and did fast throughout the scriptures in times of grief, times of sorrow and mourning, as you probably will know. In Esther chapter 4 and verse 3, you recall Haman was not a fan of Mordecai. He was not a fan of the Jews, and he convinced the king, King Ahasuerus, that he should destroy the people, the Jews. And so the king sent out a decree that on this particular day, I believe it was the 13th day of the month, that all of the Jews would be destroyed. When they heard this news, they mourned. They grieved. Could you imagine being told that you're about to be killed for no good reason? They were very upset. Sackcloth and ashes, other traditions that were there. And one of the things that they did was fasting. They fasted in time of grief. Probably with a great desire, of course, not probably. They had a great desire to not have this occur. And while God is not mentioned, we certainly see the providence of God in this. Certainly, I think there's no doubt that they were pleading to God to save them in this regard. Another example, 1 Samuel 31, when you read about the burial of King Saul and his sons, they take him in Jabesh and they bury him at this tree, and the Bible says that they mourned for some 7 days and fasted. Again, they were sorrowful over King Saul, over his sons as well. Another example, Judges 20 and verse 26, and this particular example just makes me cringe. This might just be one of the worst things that we read about to ever happen in the history of the world, in particular in the Bible, with what happened with that concubine. As you recall, what happened with Benjamin. And when Israel recognized what took place, they turned against Benjamin. They were very upset, and naturally so. And so they went to war with Benjamin, and thousands upon thousands of men were killed from battle. They battled several times. And during this process, in verse 26, after another 18,000 were slain, the children of Israel mourned, and they fasted. They fasted. They withheld from food and drink. You know, some might say it's pretty easy to do that when you're grieving because you probably don't have much of an appetite anyways. Nonetheless, that's what they were doing. And so what's the application here? We'll talk about whether you have to or not later, but for now, for our purposes, maybe, just maybe, there's a time in which you're grieving. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's someone that is sick or ill. We'll talk a little more about that in a moment too. But whatever the case, it may be a time in which you just decide, you know what, I'm just going to focus on prayer to God, and I'm just going to push food and drink to the side for a while, especially food. I'm not going to eat. Maybe you decide to do that for a few days or a week, maybe longer, but you're going to cease from that. You say, well, how could you survive? We'll talk about it. As you can tell, lots of things we're going to talk about, so let's keep going. What about in times of sickness, speaking of? And I want to talk about two aspects of this, physical illness as well as spiritual illness. Many fasted over those loved ones that were sick. David in Psalm 35 in verse 13 mentions that he was going to fast. His soul would be fasting for those who were sick. And it's interesting that he's talking about his enemies here. It doesn't mention specifically who he's referencing, but probably would have had reference to Saul, those who were turning against him, of course, and the persecution that was taking place. But he said, in their illness, in their sickness, I fast for them as I pray to God on their behalf. What a great example. 2 Samuel, let's turn to this one. I put so many verses that we just don't ever have time to turn to all of them, but I do want to turn to some of these. And 2 Samuel, I really think is a great example of what we're discussing for many reasons. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16. This is in the context of David and his adultery with Bathsheba, the murder of Uriah, and his firstborn son is going to be taken from him. He's very sick. He knows that the plan is that the life of the son will be taken. Nonetheless, in verse 16, David therefore, notice, besought God for the child. He's not just deciding, you know what, I don't have an appetite, I'm not going to eat. No, he's besaulting. What would that word be? Anyways, you know what I'm getting at. He besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. Certainly, this would have been a time of grieving for David, but also over the sickness, the illness of his child as he was bound to leave him. The elders of his house arose and went to him, verse 17, to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. He didn't sit down to eat with them. He wasn't eating on his own. He was truly fasting from these meals. Verse 18, and it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And I think this is interesting. The servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? David's, you know, harming himself in a sense. He's not eating when he thinks the child is possibly has a chance. But if we tell him the child died, what's he going to do then? They were very fearful. But to their surprise, look at verse 20. He hears them whispering, the men, and recognizes that the child passed. And in verse 20, David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house when he required they eat bread before him. And he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that you've done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. They don't get it. The child died. Shouldn't you be more upset? Well, he was fasting, not necessarily because of the mourning. He was fasting because he was hoping that that child would be spared by God. He was beseeching, I keep using that, but he besought God on behalf, I'm trying to speak King James, I'm not doing a very good job. He was going to God on behalf of that child in hopes that he would live. But that wasn't the case, and so he stopped fasting. I want you to notice there that there was that purpose. And as soon as that purpose ended, as soon as there was no more reason, he stopped. Right? I want you to remember that a little bit later in this study in particular. We'll make reference to it again. One other example, or two more rather, Jonah. Let's think about the spiritual side of this. Not only might you grieve, or rather fast, over the sickness of someone, a loved one, a child, a family member, a friend, whoever it might be, even yourself, but you might also fast over a spiritual sickness. Obviously, that's even more important, more severe than a physical one. Jonah chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, 8 words. Just so interesting to me. 8 words are all we know of what Jonah said to the people of Nineveh. The shortest sermon, I guess you could say, recorded in the Bible. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the people wept, and they fasted. They were upset because they realized that they had sinned in their lives. What about a New Testament example of the same? Acts chapter 9, we can get it up there. Verse 9, Saul of Tarsus, that is. Saul, as he's going to travel to Damascus, Paul, as we would call him today, he was approached by Jesus, the light that shone round about him. And you remember what happened? He went to Damascus and he waited. 3 days he was blind, and the Bible says in verse 9, neither did he eat or drink. It doesn't use the word fast there, but that's what he's doing. He is fasting. Why? Because he's realized that he's hurt the Lord. He's doing it all wrong, even though with a good conscience he thought he was doing the right thing. He wasn't. Now he realizes it and recognizes that he needs to repent, that he needs to devote his life correctly to the Lord. And so he fasts. Again, maybe in your lives you decide to fast because of an illness, someone close to you. Maybe it's a spiritual sickness. And so you decide you're going to take some time to pray to God on behalf of that person and fast with that as well. And that's certainly biblical, scriptural reason to do so. Another reason you might fast is an act of humility. An act of humility. Fasting could also just be for the purpose of pausing and just counting your blessings and focusing on God and what you've been given. You know, sometimes we don't realize what we truly have until we let it go for a while or until we lose it. Right? And so that might be the case. We think about it. We eat, all of us probably went home for lunch and maybe we had leftovers. Maybe we had went out to eat. Whatever we did, we had a meal. We have meals all the time. And we take that for granted. Sometimes we forget how blessed we are. And so maybe you let go of that for a time to just recognize how blessed you are to have. Just that blessing of getting a meal every single day and multiple times a day where so many don't. Ezra 8 verse 21. Ezra is traveling with the people on the way to Jerusalem. And he pauses, and at the river, the Bible says he fasted and afflicted himself. The word afflicted means that he humbled himself. In other words, he fasted in order to focus on God. And it says why. It later says in verse 21 that he wanted God to help show him the way, to direct him and to guide him on his path, that he would make it there without persecution. Without having to fear the enemies around him and what might happen. Another example, Psalm 35, 12 to 15. Again, this is we referenced earlier with David about the sickness. He also says, I fast, or my soul does, he says, for humility. In my humility, I fast to God. Again, it may not be that there's a grieving going on or a sickness. You might just decide you're going to fast for a bit to be humbled, to count your blessings, and to focus on God Almighty. One last one, and then we'll move on. The religious events, I guess is the best way to put this and what you see up there. But I think about Jesus, for example. Jesus fasted for 40 days, the Bible says. And in Matthew 4 and verse 2, when you think about why he was fasting, what was the occasion? Well, in verse 1, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He was going to be tempted, and he fasted 40 days in connection to some extent to what was taking place. And we see that throughout the Bible, examples of men fasting before a great religious activity was going to happen, such as this one, such as Paul and Barnabas. Acts 13, we haven't got too far past this, verses 2 and 3. Before they traveled to Seleucia, to Cyprus, to Salamis, and on down the line, what did they do? They stopped and they fasted. Keep in mind that the Jews in the first century often would fast in the synagogue 2 days a week. That was very common. And maybe Paul and Barnabas were participating in that. They weren't commanded to do that. In fact, one is going to be rebuked. We might notice later, time permitting, for that action. But they did it appropriately. That's the key. And they did so because of their journeys they were about to take. And we see that over and over again in Paul and Barnabas and other examples. Maybe, to make this practical, what's the point here? You're probably not going on a missionary journey. You may. Maybe you take a missionary trip and you fast for that. Not in the sense of going around the world for your entire lives and doing what Paul did, but maybe you're not going to be led to the wilderness to be tempted. But there are activities that take place that certainly would be appropriate to fast over, to pray about and to focus on, such as a gospel meeting, such as maybe a Bible camp for the young people, such as maybe a ladies' day, anything that might be of significance that you want to pause, and that's okay, and fast and focus on prayer to God on behalf of that event. How long should you do it? This is a common question. What is the Bible's guidelines for how long you should fast? Well, there's not a set amount of time. I'll give you one extreme and kind of go down and shorter to the shortest extreme I could find in the text. The longest I can find is that of Jesus and of Moses. Both of them fasted for 40 days. 40 days. Now here's what's interesting about this. Let's take Moses for example. We haven't mentioned him yet. Exodus 34. When he's on the mount, he went without food and water, the Bible says, for 40 days. When you fast, if you drink water during that, it doesn't negate the fasting. Okay? In fact, it doesn't mention that he did not drink water. All it says is that he remained from food. He did not eat. The devil did not tempt him with liquid. He tempted him with bread, some argue. But nonetheless, Moses, it's very clear, he did not drink. I don't know how much you know about nutrition and how the body works, but you won't last, and I won't last 40 days without water or food. That's not going to happen. But Moses, something happened on that mount. God was with Moses. He sustained him. And so I'm telling you, I don't want you to go home and think, well, I just need to fast from food and water for 40 days because that's what the preacher said. That won't go over well. However, you can fast for food for, you know, however long you want to, but certainly drink that water. If you decide that you want to take a full day and not eat or drink water, that's okay. And that's certainly acceptable. But be careful about how long you do that. And so, sustaining from Cokes and teas and coffee, milk, those kinds of things would certainly be included in that fast. But there's nothing that would suggest that you cannot drink water and still be biblically fasting. But how long? That was the point of this. 40 days and 40 nights. Probably you're not going to fast for that long. But that's one extreme that we've seen on very special occasions. When they buried Saul, it was 7 days. Another example. I believe David was 7 days as well. It mentioned with his child. With Saul of Tarsus, when he was on his way to Damascus, it was 3 days. 3 days he fasted. And the shortest one I could find is in Daniel chapter 6, verse 18. King Darius, when he sent Daniel to the den of lions, the night before that happened, he fasted. Just that night, he fasted on behalf of what was going to take place the next day. The Bible doesn't say that that didn't count, that that wasn't really a fast, because it wasn't, you know, X amount of days. It's totally up to the situation and the individual. Why did he just do it one night? Because that's all that mattered. The next day it happened. There was no need to fast after that. And so fasting can be any amount of time. And so we get this question. Must we fast? Do we have to do this? Is it a biblical command? I want to start in Luke chapter 5. Let's turn to a couple of passages here. Luke chapter 5. I've already mentioned, I believe, that the Bible does not come out and say, you must fast. There's no direct command to fast. But there's some passages I'm going to show you and then explain, because I know the question is, if it's mentioned and we see example of it, why isn't that a command? Well, we'll talk about it in just a moment. Let's read these passages first. Luke chapter 5, and then we're going to go to Matthew 6. Luke 5 and verse 33. Luke 5 verse 33. Let's read it together. They said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? Jesus, why are your disciples not fasting? John's are. The Pharisees are fasting. What's going on with your disciples? They're obviously not spiritual, right? Look at verse 34. He said unto them, can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come, focus on 35 here, when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. I want you to notice two things from this. Number one, I want you to notice that fasting was not a particular time of the week that they had to do it. You know, Jesus says, while I'm here, they're not fasting, in essence, because there's no reason to. I'm here with them. Everything is fine. It wasn't that Jesus said, every first day of the week, you're going to fast. It wasn't that there was, and this is one of the reasons why we can be sure it's not a commandment, because there's no particular set instance. When you mourn, do you have to fast? The Bible didn't say that. You are to humble yourself? Absolutely. The Bible says humble yourself. Do you have to fast to do that? No. But that can be part of it. Nonetheless, though, he says in verse 35, they will fast because they'll have a reason to when I'm gone. Matthew 6, let's turn over there. Matthew 6 and verse 16. You know this passage probably pretty well, but I want to just point out one key word. It needs to give you something to think about. Matthew 6 and verse 16. Jesus says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. All right, he talks about fasting. He talks about kind of giving some guidelines that we'll make note of in a moment. But I want you to notice the word when. Moreover, when ye fast, not if. Now, that's not a direct command. However, it does imply that Jesus had an expectation. He expected that they would fast, and they did. Many of them, twice a week, they would fast. And so he knew that they were going to do it, and so he says, when you do it, this is how. Again, though, he's not directly commanding it, nor do we have examples of a particular instances where they can, you know, for example, when someone died, they always fasted. That wasn't the case. When someone repented of sin, they always fasted. That wasn't the case. Right? Let me make sure I'm explaining this correctly. Let's take something like baptism. Cool. Let's take something like baptism and say, for example, that we found an example in the Bible where someone was saved and baptism was not mentioned. True or false, that would tell us that there are exceptions, that baptism is not completely necessary for salvation. That's absolutely true. If there's one example where they did not do it, then you know that it's not a must, right? The Lord's Supper, the first day of the week. Someone might say, well, we know that we have to do it every first day of the week because they did, right? Well, why is that? Because we see them do that time and time again. That was their, they gave every first day of the week. They partook of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. When that doesn't take place, when there are exceptions, we know that's not a must. And so what I'm getting at is, if you want to say that it's commanded, that we have to do it, what you've got to show is where they consistently did it. What was the circumstance? If I have to do it, when do I have to do it? That's the question, right? So with this, I'm not convinced that we can say that you're going to be lost eternally if you don't fast. However, I am convinced that it is something to consider, that it's something we need to understand, and certainly something we can practice if we so choose. My battery die over there? Oh, awesome. It's an old computer. That's all right. That's no problem. I don't know why I'm looking for the clicker. It's not going to matter anyways. All right, let me conclude. I don't remember what passage I was on, but... Oh, yes, I do. Let me conclude with some guidelines for you. Some guidelines. Joel chapter 2. I want to turn to these last few verses. I apologize. You won't see them up there, but that's all right. Joel chapter 2. For those of you who want to know more about this and decide, hey, I've never done this before, but I think I want to practice fasting in my life. That's okay. That's certainly a great thing. But I want to give you some guidelines that are very, very important when it comes to fasting. Joel chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. Joel 2, verse 12. Read it with me. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and notice, rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. What I want you to get from this is, he says, when you're going to fast, you do it right. You do it with all of your heart. Don't do it for a show. It's not about the tearing of the garments. It's about the tearing, he says, of the heart. You're focused on me. If you're going to fast, don't just do it to do it. Don't just do it because you think it's neat. Do it right. Pour out your heart to God. If it's in prayer, if it's in devotion, whatever your reason is, Joel says, by inspiration, do it with your heart. Turn with me with all your heart, verse 12. Rend your heart, verse 13. Powerful, powerful words. Let me give you another guideline. Luke chapter 5 again. Look back to Luke chapter 5. And really, note, I keep mentioning they tithe twice a week. Write down Luke 18 and verse 12. That's where that is, by the way. Luke 18 and verse 12. Where the Pharisees like, hey, I'm not like any of these other people. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not an adulterer. I don't do this and that. And I fast twice a week. Well, the publican, you remember, he prayed and said, be merciful upon me, a sinner. He was humble. He didn't mention fasting. But Jesus said, he's the one that is acceptable to me, in essence. Not the guy that fasted twice a week, because he was doing it for show. He wasn't doing it for the right reasons. It was all about being seen. And you remember they would go out and they'd make a sad face and they'd get people's attention. And, oh, what's wrong? Well, I'm fasting to God and I'm so spiritual. I'm doing so good, right? We could get caught up in something like that. But he says, do it in secret and you'll be rewarded in secret. Verse 34 and 35 of Luke, we mentioned earlier, Luke chapter 5. He talks about that bridegroom leaving. Here's the purpose of this passage again. Is because there was a reason, right? The second guideline I would give you, not only do it with all your heart, but do it when there's a reason to do it, right? If there's no reason, if things are, there's nothing that you're mourning about in your life, there's no sickness, there's no need at this time for a special act of humility or an event that's taking place or whatever the case, then don't do it. But fast when there's a reason to, and you feel that's what you want to do at that time. Just make sure that you do it with an appropriate reason and do it with all of your heart. Just like anything else. If we're going to do anything in God's name, or anything in general for that matter, whatever your hand finds to do, do it what, brethren? With all of your might. And also with all of your heart. I want to conclude in Isaiah chapter 58. And the lesson will be yours. Isaiah chapter 58. Verses 2 through 8, and the lesson will be yours. If there is a section of the Bible that I would impart to you and say when it comes to fasting, this needs to be your guideline. Remember this section right here above all else. This is it. Isaiah 58, 2 and following. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. When they're fasting, they're doing it. They're finding pleasure in other things. They're not doing the right fast. They're not really humbling themselves and focusing on God in the sorrow and humility of heart. They're interested in other things. Well, I'll just replace food with this. And I'll just entertain myself with that and call it a fast. Verse 4. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. God, in essence, says, I'm not accepting this. This is not a fast. I'm not listening and going to respond to you favorably because of this, just because you call it a fast. Verse 5, is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush? To spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? The implication, their rhetorical question, of course not. But verse 6, he says this. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Here's the real fast. Here's what you need to be doing. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? In essence, is it not for you to focus on these things that are more important? For you to do better? For you to focus and apply yourself in these ways? Verse 8, that are truly pleasing to God. Verse 8 and finally, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Fasting may or may not be something that you've done before. It may or may not be something that you're going to do. However, we need to understand it, and we need to decide whether that's something that we want to participate in. It's not that fasting makes you a more spiritual person. It's not that you just all of a sudden become more righteous because you did that. But it is one of the ways that God allows us to petition to Him. One of the ways that God has expressed to us as an example of putting those things away to help us become closer to Him in the long run. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's something that's upcoming in the future. Maybe it's because you just want to be more humble and devote yourself to God. Maybe there's another reason. But whatever it is, it's up to you as to when that's going to be, how long it's going to be. But do it, if you're going to, for the right reason and with all of your heart. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to do that. Right? We need to abstain from sin. That's not biblical fasting. We're not talking about fasting there. We're talking about abstaining from. I'm not going to live in that sin anymore. You know what to do. If you've never become a child of God and you believe that He is the very Son of God, that is Jesus Christ, you're willing to repent of sin, to confess His name and be baptized in water, you can be a child of God before you leave here this very night. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised next week. Who knows if we'll get the rest of 2015. But I do know this, you have right now, assuming the Lord delays His coming at the end of this invitation, you have right now to make it right. If you are a child of God and sin has come back into your life, confess that sin and repent of it before it's too late. If you need to take some time to fast, do that. If you need to focus more in your prayer and devotion to God in some other way, do that. But don't pillow your head tonight if you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are right with God and that you're ready to meet Him in judgment. Friends, if we can assist you in any way, we love you and we encourage you. Please come forward and let us know as we stand and sing together.